This is tape two of an interview with Martha Lehmann, who came from Germany in 1938 at the age of 31. This is Janet Levine for the National Park Service, and the date is September 13th, 1991. We were talking about the ship, the Franconia, that left from Cherbourg in France December 24th, 1938. 30. Right. We were talking about that voyage. So is there anything else about the passage? You said that you were writing letters to everyone that had already left Germany at that time.
Right. I mean, not only to people who left Germany, to my relatives who had left Germany, but also I wrote letters to people who I was asked to write to them if they possibly could help other people to get out of Germany.
Mm-hmm. What did that entail? When if someone were willing to help, what did they do?
They sent an affidavit to the consulate in Stuttgart or wherever people lived, and or if people wanted to go to different countries, maybe they needed financial help, that they didn't have the money to go Some people even asked, maybe you could find somebody for us to give us an affidavit if you cannot give an affidavit.
I see.
So it's just do anything what you can do to help us.
I see. So then when you got into the New York Harbor, you remember the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
And was there anything that people did aboard ship when they came into the harbor and saw the statue that you recall?
No, I can't recall that anything. I mean, I was glad I could see that, and because I knew about it, but I guess I was too preoccupied or occupied with my son to watch other people.
Yes.
So and.
Well, now you were in the cabin. You had a cabin, and you were first or second or third class.
Oh well, tourist class. It was. I don't know what it is. It was tourist class.
Uh huh. And were you treated well? I mean, were the meals good?
Yeah.
Was the whole passage?
The meals were very good, and it was really luxury or something. I would call it.
Uh huh.
So it was.
Were there steerage passengers on your ship at that time?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
1938, maybe.
No,
there
were no steerage.
Okay, so then do you remember seeing New York for the first time?
Yeah.
Do you remember your impression when you first saw it?
Well, I saw the big buildings, and I knew there would be big buildings. That's all I saw, big buildings. But then when I actually was in New York, I mean, after coming from Ellis Island, and saw all those fire escapes, and I saw those fire escapes, I was like, oh, all people have balconies here. I really was surprised sometimes when I saw, I worked then the following year in Long Island, and I saw the electric light. It was on a wooden post.
The lamppost.
Wooden lamppost. I said, wooden lampposts they have here. I expected everything to be metal and modern, and so I really was surprised it was not everything modern as I had expected it from Germany.
Before we get too much into being in the United States, what about Ellis Island? Now, you answered a question honestly about...
that was the inspector from the boat, but then when Ellis Island, it's still there. We just were waiting there. So when I was questioned. I told them the same thing, what I had told them before. And it was perfectly all right because the people also were there and they could have told them whatever it was. So when it was our turn, we came out.
Oh, I see. So there was no problem.
There was really, no problem whatsoever. No, it just was so many people there. That's why it took that long.
I see.
And the people who watched for me were in Ellis Island two days because you know the first because they had to be there to take me out.
Right. And how about your son? Do you remember? Does he remember that at
no,
all?
No, he doesn't remember anything at all anymore. So, and. Only on the boat, on the ship, he said once he came, Mutti, I have seen a real Moor in German in his picture book. He had, there were colored people and they were called Moor in German, the German. I said, well, there is a statue there. I said, no, real ones, two real ones. And there were actually two black women on as passengers on the boat, and which I had noticed, which I hadn't noticed before, but I noticed them then afterwards, you know. So, and he called them, I had real ones. And then he asked me, why are they so dark? I guess I was sitting in the sun so long. I didn't know what to tell him. You know, what can you tell a four-year-old child about different colors or so? And I wasn't prepared. So.
Well, what was it like at Ellis? Was it you slept there then?
Two nights.
And what were the sleeping arrangements like?
The beds were so. I was disappointed in the museum that don't have that kind of beds there. They were very high, and my son fell out of bed and had a blue eye. I said, no, where is that? Well, so it...
They were bunk beds? They were
They were not bunks. They were individual beds.
Oh, but they were high.
They were very high, yeah. And metal beds. I mean, they were comfortable. You could sleep in there. The only thing that Ernie fell out of bed, and but we slept there for two nights. And so I really don't know much anymore. I only know that people went to the telephone and make telephone calls from Ellis. I said, whom do they call? What do they know? How do they? That was puzzled me, but really what I did all day, I have no idea.
Well, now, was your English good when you arrived here? Were you able to converse?
Yeah, I could talk. I mean, sometimes little words I didn't know, but I tried to learn.
You could get along your English.
Yeah. So we had English in school, and then I had that private lessons. So, I mean, I managed.
And so did you eat then in a big dining room here? Is that...
I have no idea.
You don't remember?
I don't remember it anymore. I don't remember what it was.
Do you remember meeting the people who did meet you here at Ellis Island?
Max and Estella Goldsmith. They had vouched for me. So they came to meet us.
And do you remember that meeting?
Well, I only remember that they were there. That's all. And then they took us to Chinatown, to a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, was that a first for you?
I never had eaten Chinese food before.
And what did you think of it?
Oh, well, it was very strange for me, but I didn't want to say anything because I was too polite to say it. And I said, well, they asked me, how do you like it here? I said, what can you say? You just arrived, what do you like? I said, I do. Well, well, it's a funny question to ask me.
You haven't been there very long.
Yeah, right.
And do you like Chinese food now?
Yeah, right now. Yeah. There is a Chinese food the next corner, a Chinese restaurant to take out food. So if I don't know what to eat, I go there and pick up something.
Okay, so then when you got came to Manhattan, where did you stay initially?
A brother of Max Goldsmith. He and his wife had offered to take care of Ernie until I had a footing here and had a job and could take care of him myself. So they had two children who were older than Ernie, and I thought they do something. They want to help somehow who emigrates. And that was very nice. And I stayed also for 2 weeks with them.
Where did they live?
They lived in Mount Vernon.
Uh-huh.
And they helped me find a job then in Mount Vernon. And my first job then was taking care of a three-year-old child. And, well, I knew how to cook, and even people in Germany, I asked them, what can I do to make a living when I come to the States? So, oh, if you know how to cook, it's very, you'll find a job in no time. And so, but if you want to take a few, go to a cooking school and take some lessons in Germany. Well, I did that for a few hours. I went there. And but when I was at Jack Goldsmith's, Jack and Dora Goldsmith, I noticed that cooking in Germany and cooking in the States is quite different. They're different vegetables, different salad. And what I thought, the terrible portions, big portions of meat. I thought, do all people eat that much meat? I mean, I wasn't used to that. And the first job, taking care of that child, and that woman told that woman I was going to work for, said, well, and in the afternoon you give the child a milkshake. I never had heard of a milkshake. I had seen at Jack's I had chocolate milk. I mixed chocolate milk. I said, you mean chocolate? No, a milkshake. I said, well, she showed me then the appliances, how to make a milkshake. And, I didn't last very, not even a week, I think. I left in that shop. And then a friend suggested to go to New York and go to Self-Help, a Jewish organization who help immigrants, or not only immigrants. They would have jobs, plenty of jobs, any kind of jobs. And I did that. And then I got other jobs. And the first woman I applied for a job, Mrs. Cohen, didn't believe I was Jewish. So she brought a filler. And when she saw I could read perfectly my Hebrew, so she believed that I was Jewish and hired me. Uh-huh. They also had a child to take care of. And
this was a Jewish woman who wanted to make sure you were...
Uh-huh. She wanted to make sure I'm Jewish and not just a German. And I remember then that was around 102nd or 103rd Street and near Broadway, maybe on West End Avenue or somewhere. And my relatives at that time lived at 158th Street. So I thought, 158th Street. And on Sundays, they had company, other people who had come from Germany, whom I had known. And I wanted to see those people. So I was pushing the baby carriage from 103rd Street to 158th Street, just, see. And, it was, of course, it took much longer to go back again. And people were worried, where were you? I said, it was so nice. I pushed the carriage and pushed the carriage, and all of a sudden I was at 125th Street. You went that far? I said, yes. I was 200. And then I pushed it back. That's why I'm so late now. So I didn't tell them. I went to 158th Street. one thing else happened there. At the time, Marian Anderson was supposed to sing in Washington. And the was the daughter of the American Revolution didn't let her sing in the convent Constitution Hall at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I was reading this in the Times, and when people were out, when she came back, I said, I don't understand. Yes, I thought she wanted to translate it for me. I said, I understand it perfectly, but tell me, Marian Anderson is such a wonderful singer. Why couldn't she sing? But don't you know? She is black. And I don't want to repeat what she said. Black people sing, she said. Mm. I mean, it's unbelievable.
So you were really shocked to hear that here.
Yeah,
that,
right, uh-huh. Yeah. So, and, well, it was, and then also Ernie, we made friends with some American people, and they invited Ernie for a weekend or something like that. And they had a black woman as a maid. And Ernie was, he accepted that black woman because he had seen black women on the boat. Mm-hmm. And so they were so surprised. They said, well, they questioned it. I said, well, she was sitting in the sunset lungs. That's why she's... They told me that. I said, well, that's what he was told by his mother, who didn't know how to say it.
So now, did Ernie go to school right away?
No.
He was four.
He was uh-huh. 4 years old. Uh-huh. He was with Jack for about 2 months, and then I found a children's home in Brooklyn where he could sleep there also.
Oh.
And I went there, had an interview, and they told me, all right, so I could take care of it. When I brought Ernie there, an attendant came in with two boys who had arrived on the same ship as we had. I remember those boys, but the boys by themselves did not, because I didn't play with each other, something like that. And each boy was with his family and so.
Yes.
And so there was no reaction from the children. So, but I remember the mothers and talked to the mothers, and the mothers didn't like the home. Neither did I. It was a neighborhood where no park or nothing green was growing. I mean, the place was all right, was clean, but no, they couldn't see any trees or anything there.
Well, now, would your son stay there during the week and then come home on the weekend?
No, no.
Or he would just stay there and visit?
I went to visit. Uh-huh. I didn't have a place of my own then. You know, I had a sleep-in job. That was,
I see.
I had to make, I mean, I had no, I came here without any money, and so I had to save money. And so, as a matter of fact, I didn't have to pay in that home, that was free. But my relatives from Frankfurt, they had settled in East Strasburg in Pennsylvania, because sisters of my uncle by marriage had lived there, so they came there. And he was a butcher in Germany, and there was no kosher butcher there, so they opened a kosher butcher shop in there. Mm-hmm. And they invited us, as any time you can come, you are welcome to come and see us. And so, I don't know, was it between jobs or something, one long weekend we went there. And I remember that bus ride. When I asked for the tickets, the man behind the window said, well, make sure and tell your bus driver that you want to get off in East Strasbourg. I said, okay. So I wasn't worried to get off because I knew it was a few hours ride. But then all of a sudden I saw signs, Strasbourg, along the road. I said, well, at every stop I went there, I asked, is this East Strasbourg? I said, no, not yet. And I was so glad when we finally got to East Strasbourg, and my cousin was waiting for us. So, and it was, I knew it was a small town. I was surprised to see it. It was beautiful. It was, first of all, surroundings, it's in the Poconos, it was beautiful. And there were beautiful stores in that town. And then my family's relatives who lived there said, don't go, go and stay and try to get a job here. And don't go back to the city in summer. Don't stay in the city in the summer. It would be terrible. So then also there was a farm, Lord's Farm, who had children of their own and always took one or two children as boarders. And, well, we went there and asked, and I talked to that Mrs. Lord. She looked very severe and a tall woman, but then once you talk to her, it was all right. And Ernie somehow, like he was running around on that farm as if it's his own. So I said, all right. So we made arrangements that he might come back. And those family friends then drove around with me to find a job for me for the summer. And found a job in a boarding house. And at the end of May, Ernie and I, we went to East Strasbourg. So I had a
so
job.
So that was your first summer?
That was the first summer,
In this country?
Yeah. So, and I had a job, and Ernie stayed with Mrs. Lords. And whenever I had a chance, I mean, on my day off, I went to see him.
You in the fall you came back to
in the fall I came back to New York, but I left Ernie there because it was much better. The surroundings were much better than in that home in New York or in Brooklyn, and I told him, well, it was bad. In one, I couldn't go there every week to Strasbourg to see him,
right.
And I said, well, I come as often as I can, and that's what I did then.
So then you came back here and did you find another job here?
I found another job, yeah. The job I found then was very strange. It was with Countess Jernine. Jernine was, her husband was the son of the last Austro-Hungarian foreign minister. And he was a writer and also a monarchist. The woman was half Jewish, and I mean, of course, she was half Jewish, but I mean, she was brought up as Gentile, and her mother was Gentile, her father was Jewish, and very wealthy. From a very wealthy family. Otherwise, she wouldn't have, the count wouldn't have married her, I guess. So they lived in a remodeled farm on Long Island. It was really strange. I liked that place. It was so different, and they had a wonderful library. I mean, I could read whatever I wanted to. So, and they had a child, which was the child was a year younger than Ernie was. So somehow, the woman, I mean, thought I know how to get along with a child, and so, and it turned out all right.
And how long did you stay there?
I stayed there until I went back to the boarding house again the next following year.
For the summer.
Before the summer, yeah,
I see.
Yeah. So before I had left in that boarding house, Mrs. Lundner had asked me, "What are you going to do? Would you like to come back next year?" I said, "Well, what we don't know, because in the meantime the war had really started in Europe, and I don't know what's going to happen, but if I can, I'll come back." And I gladly came back then, because it was they had nice the guests were very nice, and the Londoners were nice, so I came back. In the meantime, my parents had arrived here. My one brother and my parents also had arrived there. Mm-hmm. And my brother, there was the oldest one, he stayed a few weeks in New York. They said, "I don't like it in New York." He went to Philadelphia. and he made friends there, got a job there. And so then my uncle and aunt said to us, well, whenever your parents come, in the meantime, we had sent affidavit for them to Germany, so to make sure that they could come. And also, Max and Estella Goldschmidt helped us with an affidavit, gave an additional affidavit. And so I said, whenever they come, they should stay with us, and with my father's brother for a while to get used to the States. And then we were sitting together after my parents came, what we're going to do. So my brother had settled in Philadelphia, so why don't we all go to Philadelphia then? He finds a place for us to live, and when I come back in fall, I come also to Philadelphia. And that's what we did. He found a house in a typical Philadelphia row house. The only thing was there was a tree in front of the house, so in case you come home late in the evening, you could find the house, because there is one house like the other. And also, it was a one fare. I mean, we didn't have to pay extra fare to go there. We could go to this walk to the subway.
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, when I came to Philadelphia, then in the beginning it was hard to find jobs, and I tried everything, because I didn't want to live in job anymore, because after all, we wanted to live with the family, and. So there were many jobs. I worked one day, 2 days, or something like that. Then finally, I found a job in a restaurant in West Philadelphia. It was a night. I worked in the evening. I worked the night. And, well, at least all those people were Jewish, but they didn't want me to tell the customers that I am Jewish. Mm-hmm. It was very hard. Mm-hmm. And also, they had a fountain. I had to learn the fountain, things like that. But I was glad I learned it. So, and the only thing, going home in the morning, I felt dirty. And here, the people are going to work. They are so clean. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that I looked dirty, uh-huh. but I felt dirty. So, and I stayed there for quite some time. And from then I got a job in a drugstore.
Now, was Ernie now back?
No, Ernie was still with Mrs. Strasbourg. In Strasbourg, uh-huh. yeah. And even when my parents came in the beginning, I said, it's much better if he stays there, because it was everything so unsettled, and it was really no good for a child to get there. And I worked then in a drugstore that was like a apartment house. And the drugstore was on the street floor. Level. Yeah, street level. And people thought I was Spanish. I don't know why. At that time, I didn't speak one word of Spanish, but when they came to ask for the Spanish girl, and let the Spanish girl bring the newspaper up. Well, I liked to do it because I knew I got a time tip.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And
what was your attitude about being here? I mean, how did you feel when you were just getting settled and finding your way in the country? And
I was glad to be here. Mm-hmm. I was glad to be here, and when you heard then about things happening, being people deported, and said, well, how did I deserve that I could make it, you know, and the others didn't. So, uh-huh. But on the other hand, I was glad to be. So then when the war started here, I was an enemy alien.
Oh.
Because I had come from Germany. And we had to file then papers, and they were asked, why did you want to come, and what happened? So I said, well, I want to come here to bring up my child in a free society. And that was okay. They had nothing against me. But if I wanted to see Ernie, I needed a permit. You couldn't travel. Like, going from Philadelphia to Canton is going from going from New York to Brooklyn. So going to Canton, you need a permit because this was New Jersey, and Philadelphia was Pennsylvania. You know? Mm-hmm. You always got the permit, but you had to go to the office to get it. And also, when I wanted to see Ernie in Pennsylvania, I needed a permit to go there. Uh-huh. So, and it was not that you didn't get it, but the idea you have to go there and get the permit. You know?
Okay, so, let's pause here for a minute until the tape is turned.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were saying that you had to, in this country, have a permit because you were an enemy alien in order to travel.
Yeah, so it was after the war had started, you know. And
did you have any communication with people in Germany during this period at all?
Yes, I mean, up to the war, I did write. I mean, I corresponded with the other grandmother, you know, with the man's mother, mm-hmm. and so, and yeah, it stopped then. When the war started, it stopped. I couldn't, because then there were people who were related to them. Distant relatives of the Katniss were here, and I asked them. I had met them when I came here, and then after the war was over, I asked them if they had any news from Germany, from the people in Germany, and they didn't have anything either. Mm-hmm. So I don't know anymore. Who started writing? Well, later on, I got mail again. Then, I can't recall who started it. If I started it, or because they didn't know, or they wrote to the address which originally they had from before the war. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, and what were you and the other people from Germany who were here when the war started?
Yeah.
What was it like? I mean, what were you?
You didn't.
Thinking?
Yeah. I mean, it was. We didn't know what to expect or what. Whom to? I mean. It was really strange. Because first of all, you didn't know, and then you heard that the Germans they went into Belgium, into France, and then also into Russia, and I mean, what happened there on the East Front. So it seemed there was one victory for the Germans after the other, and we were very upset about it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, what are they doing there? And the poor people in those countries, what do they have to go through now? And that was it. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't want the Germans to succeed, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. and it was very strange.
It must be strange being both German and Jewish.
Yeah, right. Well,
to reconcile.
Yeah, and then I became a citizen in 1944, mm-hmm. in 1944, yeah, and could vote then for President Roosevelt. So, I mean, I voted for President Roosevelt. And so it was very strange. When President Roosevelt was campaigning in Philadelphia, and I was working at Gimbel's then, and the youngest son of the founder, Ellis Gimbel, he was retired and lived in Philadelphia. And he came to the store quite frequently. And everybody, I worked at the fountain, everybody liked to wait on him. and all he had was a cup of coffee for 5 cents, and nobody gave him a check. And I said, "Mr. No check." I said, "No, it's on the house." I mean, he always shook his head. I said, "It's impossible with you." And I said, "Thank you." And really, and when the day when President Roosevelt was campaigning Philadelphia, it was raining on and off. Not hard, but it was raining. And Mr. Kimball was standing in front, he was an old man, standing in front of the store, because waiting for the parade that comes through. And he was told to come, to go inside, in the rain, not stand in the rain. So he said, "When that man can sit in an open car in the rain, I can stand in the street in the rain also."
And what was your opinion of President Roosevelt?
Well, I mean, I thought he was tops, you know. I mean, at that time, you know, he was a Democrat, and he was for the small people, and that's, I mean, at that time, I don't think we had any experience whatsoever. So we thought just President Roosevelt was tops.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so, yeah. And, well, I know then when President Roosevelt died, then my son was in Philadelphia by then. As a matter of fact, he had scarlet fever and was in the hospital. And when I came to visit him, I said, yes, Moody, the nurse told us that President Roosevelt has passed away. I mean,
He meant a lot. Well, now, did you ever have any other children?
No.
Ernie's your only child. And now do you have grandchildren?
Yeah.
And how many do you have?
I have two grandchildren, a girl who's 23, and the boy will be 22 in another month or so.
Uh-huh. And what are their names?
She's being called Dina. You want to call the full name? Dina Montserrat Matilda. Montserrat is a mother's name, uh-huh. And it's a Spanish descent. So in Spain, the children get the mother's name, yeah. And Matilda was a grandmother's name.
I see.
So, uh-huh. And my grandson is Ernest for his father, and Stephen for a grandfather, and Maximilian for another grandfather. Uh-huh. So, but he's called Stephen, Steffo. He's called Steffo. Uh-huh. And he is in Burlington now, he will be finished in December.
Uh-huh. So. Well, now, is there anything that, I mean, having had the experience you lived through?
Yeah.
Do you find that it's left its impression on you in some ways that you can mention? I mean, is there anything about that experience that has changed you in some way that, you know, that you can now?
I don't know if it changed, but I mean, if I would, I couldn't live in Germany anymore. This. I realized that it's. I was visiting there once, and I talked German. I mean, I didn't say any word in English. We were in a store, and the sales girl said, "I said, how come I don't talk a word in German? How come she knows I'm not a German?" I said, "You don't know. You don't realize it. You act." Quite different from us.
Oh.
So I didn't notice.
Uh-huh.
So
don't notice that you're different.
Yeah,
you've changed in ways.
Yeah, I didn't notice it, uh-huh. You know, but the German friend did. Mm-hmm. She said, "You are different. You maybe free or something like that. I don't know what it is."
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, besides, I mean, that's why I was hesitant meeting the German woman, because so you don't know what are their background, how do they, what do they believe in, or something like that. You know, you always say, oh, wait a minute, you know.
There's a caution about, discussing your past.
And not only that, even talking to them. So you don't know. Do you want to talk or don't you? You know, mm-hmm. you don't know their attitude. What are they, or things like that.
Yeah.
So it's maybe it's the, I mean, I have a cousin I'm very close with. She's only 10 years older than I am. And we grew up on the same place. So many times we say, well, we live comfortable and everything. But something was taken away from us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so. Like when you get a letter from Germany, and so they mention things, and I said, oh, gee, just to see it, or to go there, and that you cannot do anymore. It is, I can't explain it what it is, but there is something like children of friends came, that I'm sure they still come every year, they came to the States. And the last time I saw them, I told them that every time they come, it's so, I don't sleep for 3 weeks or something like that, because everything comes back and it makes me, I don't know, it's upsets me somehow. And maybe that when after I told them that, they don't contact me anymore. And I'm glad for it.
Really?
Because you don't want to go through this all, be reminded of what happened. I mean, you lived through it and you know it, but it's buried somehow.
And you'd rather keep it that way than to have it stirred up.
Right, So it's, I don't know if it's strange or not, but often you read, like when people who had emigrated as young people came back, live in the States, and they go back to the country. Like I read an article about a woman who left Italy. Oh, she was so anxious to go back to Italy. She wants to see it, and after she had seen it, and she lived there. She was supposed to stay there for 3 weeks. After 2 weeks, she said to her daughter, let's go home. She said, I know now the United States is my home. And I think that I would feel the same way. Hmm. So you grow into it. And this is what you like, and that's where you live.
Uh-huh.
And believe in.
I think maybe that's a very good note to close on.
Yeah.
And I thank you very much,
thank you,
Martha Lehman, for being with us today. And this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service.
Thank you.